started all the adjectives between arrogant and unhinged, and I'm sure you'd hit one that describes me.
Well, I thought my razor was dull until I heard his speech. And that reminds me of a story that's so dirty I'm ashamed to think of it myself.
Hi, everybody. It's Gordon from Blog This Pal. Thank you for tuning into the podcast. I know many of you have a lot of free time and, you know, basically are probably avoiding real work, so I really appreciate you coming down. As promised, this is the time where I answer reader questions, all three of them. But first, just a little bit of a rant, some little items of interest, kind of little rants. First, you'll notice the blog for a comics blog has been low on comics content. Well, right now, and I'm not afraid to say this, comics suck. That's right. Right now, I'm not too happy with comics. I've posted about this before, but it just seems like it's becoming less and less about the readers or even doing good work and more about, you know, basically the people in charge is saying, this is my way and let's do it. So, I mean, like with Marvel, we've got the whole Heroes for Hire thing with the weird tentacle porn cover and the Mary Jane statue, and I know now with some other stuff there's a backlash coming out, and to me it's like nothing Marvel does surprises me. I mean, Joe Quesada could put out a book called Porn for Kids and it wouldn't surprise me. And I'm trying not to be that bitter and jaded and cynical, but I would like to say, for the record, Joe Quesada needs to have his ass kicked. Yes, you heard me, Joe. I'm coming after you. You need your ass kicked, and I'm the guy to do it. So, you know, start putting out some good books. NDC is not really doing all that great either, although they're slightly better. Dan DiDio, could you explain to me one thing? Why did you have a Flash comic for 13 issues where you kill off a guy just to bring another guy back? I mean, yeah, I know it's about money, but between that and Countdown, I'm actually grateful that I haven't been buying Countdown because just from what I've read, it's really suckalicious. That's a new word. You're more than free to use it. Suckalicious. So, right now, I'm very angry with comics, but I'm very happy with Doctor Who. Russell T. Davies, I've said this on the board, and I want to say it again. For the record, Russell, you're doing a great job. These last two episodes are looking to be really kick-ass, and if they're not kick-ass, again, you're going to be on the Joe Quesada list. But for those of you, I'm not going to spoil it, but Series 3, July 6th, Sci-Fi Channel, it gets off to a rough start, but once you get to kind of the gridlock, and then it really starts to pick up. You know, 42, I was listening to the Podshock, which is a Doctor Who podcast, and they're all like, oh, 42 is a Satan pit ripoff. It is, without spoiling it, it's a traditional Doctor Who story done 24 style. I don't like 24. I don't hate it, it's not one of those shows that appeals to me. Great episode, and it just gets better from there. Utopia, the last 20 minutes, the last 20 minutes of Utopia will keep you from committing suicide. So if you're trying to decide whether you want to live or not, watch the last 20 minutes of Utopia. It will make you glad to be alive. And again, it's looking better and better. And plus, Captain Jack's back. And speaking as a heterosexual, I want to do John Barrowman. I have no problem admitting that. I know I'll probably get, there'll be a whole big brouhaha, but, you know, I know, and I love the ladies, but, you know, I'd make an exception for Captain Jack, but that's just me. Also, I've got some interesting candidates for the Record You Should Own coming up in the next few months. I think you'll dig them a little. Some are a little bit off the beaten path. And just to let you know, the Monkees album, Pisces, Aquarius, Capricorn, and Jones, that was, featured a couple of months ago. Rhino in July is re-releasing it as a double album. One's stereo, one's mono. It's got bonus tracks. You get it like a free single. So head to monkeys.rhino.com to order it. Or if you want to check out the single disc, and this is going to be the new tagline for the records you should own, check your local indie record store. Yeah, I know, you've got, like, here there's FYE and Sam Goody, but chains want to sell you crap. And I don't want you to buy crap when it comes to music or comics or videos. You should buy good stuff. And indie record stores will give you good stuff. And I know it's hip to do iTunes and all that, but you know what? Don't you really want... You can't put your hand on a download. You know, you can't really grasp a download. So visit your local indie record store. And with that, I will... personal news. I've had a couple of job interviews, some that are really promising, and I've got one. I'm recording this Thursday night, so it'll be Friday when I've had it. So if you're listening to this on Saturday or Sunday, I know everyone will wish me luck. So hopefully I can actually be gainfully employed and not do this as much. So on that note, why don't I turn directly to your questions? And let me just take off the microphone for a second. Those were actual reader questions. People took it upon themselves to actually ask me stuff. Basically, it's the same three people who always do. So, but again, I'm approachable, and basically, I like the attention, especially when it comes to the ladies. But we won't go there because this is a PG-rated podcast. So, our first set of questions come from the irrepressible Roger Green, who, as I speak, is probably falling asleep listening to this podcast. So, his first question is, Chicago, St. Louis, compare and contrast in terms of culture, whatever that means, architecture, sports, and food. Well, Roger, if you don't know what culture is, and I'm amazed as a librarian you wouldn't know this, there's this wonderful book that tells you what words mean. It's called A Dictionary. But actually, I've been meaning to blog about this. Used to live in St. Louis, lived there for several years, then moved back here. First, food. St. Louis, and I'm going to say this for the record, their pizza sucks. Okay? Their pizza absolutely sucks. It is super thin crust, and I'm talking like Ritz cracker type thin, with... it's got tomato sauce, and they use Provel cheese. Think of it this way. It's like if you took a Ritz cracker, put a little ketchup on it, and like some shower curtain, you get the basic idea. I mean, St. Louis has some great food. You know, it's got the toasted ravioli. It's got the St. Paul, which is basically an egg foo young on white bread with lettuce, tomato, mayonnaise. Great food when you're hungover. But Chicago, I mean, I'd say comparable restaurants, and, you know, you've got your change, you've got your higher end. So I prefer Chicago cuisine, but St. Louis, you need to get some hot dog stands. I mean, good hot dog stands. Not out in St. Louis County. Sports, well, when people ask me after I've moved back to Chicago, am I a Cardinals fan? I say yes, because, and let me just explain this. One set of grandparents growing up were Sox fans. The other set of grandparents were Cubs fans. Every time I came over, they were watching a game. And this was during the 70s when both teams played badly. I mean, if we're talking like lobotomized monkeys could play better sort of badly. You know what I'm saying, folks? I think you do. And so it's great to have to follow one really good team instead of two kind of okay teams. Football, not, you know, hey, we got the Bears, they got the Rams, but I love living in a city with an NBA franchise. I mean, the Bulls are absolutely frickin' rock. So, architecture, there's a lot. I'm an architecture buff. I like a lot of St. Louis architecture and Chicago architecture. It's, you know, I'm not like, oh, this is a Frank Lloyd Wright home, blah, 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 but some really cool buildings. And now this is where I get into another mini rant about St. Louis culture. And this is where I think people in St. Louis need to grow the blank up. The first thing I've noticed about St. Louis culture is that it's very in-crowdish and very... It's tight-knit, but it's almost to the point of anal retention. If I were to meet someone, and this actually happened when I first moved out there, someone asked me what high school I went to. And I never understood why people ask that. And part of the problem is that in St. Louis, where you went to high school determined who you hung out with, what your socioeconomic status is. And St. Louis is pretty, you know, St. Louis, they joke about it, you know, what high school did you go to? But you know what, St. Louis, knock it the fuck off. And I'm going to have to label this podcast as not clean, because I'm going to use a lot of swear words. But St. Louis, you really need to fucking get over yourself. The high school thing is not cute. There's a lot of, it's hard to get anything done because there's all this infighting and fractionalization. And if you don't believe me, Google St. Louis City School Board. That's all I'm going to say. And I know some of the players involved, and unfortunately, if I said anything, I'd have to be killed. So, that's one thing about St. Louis culture that really bothers me. The other thing is that politically, there's still a lot of divisive. Well, let me just say this. As someone who's worked on tobacco prevention and other initiatives, there's, and I've actually talked about this with a friend of mine who's lived in St. Louis all his life, and there's two ways to look at St. Louis. One is that St. Louis is, my friend says St. Louis is like putting an illiterate person in charge of putting together a really nice library of hardbound first edition books. It looks great. It's wonderful. There's some impressive works, but the person can't read, so he can't enjoy it. I kind of see St. Louis as like, and I speak from personal experience when I say this, but it's like dating a woman or a man, if you know, who has really severe self-esteem problems. You want to just keep saying, you know, look, you can work this out. You know, you can work through these issues, but you can get better. But the person always keeps putting themselves down, and they always compare themselves to somebody else. So, but I think St. Louis, one of the great advantages to it is that because it's so much smaller, there's a lot more that's easily accessible. There's there are greater opportunities to get involved in certain things. And in all fairness, I've only been back in Chicago a few months, so I'm probably working through some issues and working through, as Kevin McDonald from the Kids in the Hall would say, some emotional problems, but we won't go there. Two, Roger's second question is, were you the guy in high school where all the girls confided in you their lovelorn problems, even when you had a mad crush on them? Hell yes. Luckily, hey, I had self-esteem problems, but I learned to work through them. And now, even though, like, Tyra Banks wouldn't go out to me, I've learned to really just appreciate women in all forms. So, yeah, I was that guy. And three, how often do you clean and trim your fingernails and toenails? I actually don't. I have like 6-inch long fingernails and toenails, and they come in really handy for like climbing buildings, and I can use them like Wolverine's claws and like kill people. So to answer your question, Roger, I don't clean. Well, actually, I do clean them every other day, but I don't trim them. It's, you know, hey, look, you know, and I had to give up nose picking because I was having nosebleeds, you know. It was getting to the point where Scott at Polite Dissent was going to do his nosebleed, psychic nosebleed Zen, a whole month's worth on me. So let's not go there. Okay, moving right along, and thank you for listening this far. Feel free, if you want to hit pause, get a beverage, go to the bathroom, torture your cat, please feel free to. But let me go. Now we have Lefty Brown, who is a good man and a really good blogger. And, you know, he's the kind of guy you want to have watching your back in a knife fight. Unlike Roger, who will probably sneak away, but we're not going to go there. Lefty's first question is, what do you think of the current presidential political field? Are there anyone who has certain risen to your attention? At this point, it's way too early to tell. There are a lot of, besides the obvious frontrunners on both sides, what I'd really like to know more about are the guys who don't get a lot of press. You know, the guys who are not Mitt Romney or Rudy Giuliani or Obama or Hillary, only because I just would like to, I like to know what they stand for, because I think all the attention's put on the front runners, but you've got all these other people who may have some really good ideas. So no one struck me as, yep, that person's presidential, but I'm keeping my thoughts open. Okay, two. Have you ever taken a vacation or detour simply to see, touch, or be around rock and roll history? Well, I don't know if I'd say I've taken a vacation. I actually was able to, I had actually lucked out, well, like, when I lived in St. Louis, I checked out the Fox Theater, which is where Chuck Berry played, which was also where they filmed Hail, Hail, Rock and Roll. I also, there's a stretch of 66 that actually, what used to be Route 66, so I actually drove part of that. There's also an old recording studio in St. Louis where Tina Turner actually recorded, and that was roughly around, it's around 3,000 Locust, which is kind of west. I don't remember where it's located off the top of my head. I've also, in Chicago, the one of the things I've been meaning to do is to head down to check out where Chess Studios used to be. Haven't had a chance to do that yet, but I've never really gone out of my way to seek it out, but I've done it. You know, but I've, I have kind of checked out rock and roll history. And then three, what TV show has a better chance of coming back or redone and actually has a good chance of being good? Bonanza, MASH, A-Team, The Prisoner, or 21 Jump Street? Well, Lefty, first, you said you got to watch The Prisoner. Watch it. It is really one of the, it is like the one of the greatest TV shows of all time. But, well, The Prisoner, I know there are plans afoot to bring it back on British TV, as well as I think Christopher Nolan's doing a movie version, so I'm going to take that out of the running because it's already kind of in progress. I think of all the shows, the one that's better chance of coming back and of being good is, drumroll please, The A-Team. Here's why. Deadwood, I think, has pretty much raised the bar for Westerns, so Bonanza's right out there. Bonanza's more of a traditional Western, with Deadwood being, you know, with Deadwood basically saying, this is what Westerns look like, Bonanza's out of the running. MASH, I don't think you could do at this time. MASH came about, I mean, it started as a novel, then a movie, then a TV show, but I think it came about during a certain set political time with Vietnam. I don't think we've really had enough distance from that time, and with the Gulf War and everything else, I don't think it's going to resonate, and I don't think they'd want to bring it back. 21 Jump Street, hell no. I think that's just too dated. No one could, I don't think anyone could take that premise seriously again. The A-Team, what you've got is, it's, and I think Stephen J. Cannell is a genius at this, because he does these quirky shows that are, for some, when you hear them on paper, they shouldn't work, but they do. The A-Team, you've got group of soldiers of fortune doing good deeds, and if you were to do it for the 21st century, one, you could have them all as Gulf War veterans. You're not going to lose any resonance with that. And plus, and this is just my idea, make the original A-Team kind of like an urban legend, you know, rather than, oh, there's this team of professionals that will help you. Make them like this rumored team, and then what you've got is this weird kind of, you know, you can play the, or are they doing this because they're noble and they want to do fun stuff, or are they just doing it because, hey, there's money involved? But I'm not a network programmer, so that can't help you there. And then the ever-present Church of Klugman asks, what are your three favorite Klugman performances? Well, first is 12 Angry Men, but that's a personal... In freshman year in high school, there was a classroom performance, and I played juror number 5, which I think... The juror that Jack Klugman played, I played. So, okay, it resonates. And you need to see that film. If you want to see a well-directed... If you want proof that you don't need big-ass explosions, and if you want to give Michael Bay a really good filmmaking class, or Zack Snyder, who's talking crap about Watchmen, get them to see that movie. It takes place in one room, and it shows that you don't need big-ass special effects. With a good script and solid acting, that movie rocks. It's one of my favorite movies. And also... Movie by the same director, Find Me Guilty, with Vin Diesel. But that's a bit of a divergence. And I think there's two from the Twilight Zone that I think absolutely killer Klugman. The first is Death Ship, which is one of the hour-long episodes. It's about a crew, they're in a spaceship, they crash on a planet, and they start seeing their family. And I won't give away the twist at the end, but Klugman sells the twist, and he sells it so perfectly. So track that one down, and A Passage for Trumpet, which is Klugman's a down-and-out trumpeter. He decides to kill himself. He sees an angel. Just absolutely remarkable. And, there. Wish I had more questions, but, you know, hey... I guess people sometimes aren't as curious as we'd like them to be. But I see by the old clock on the wall or the little red thing on Audacity that we've gone about 23 minutes. So I'd like to thank you all for tuning in. I've got the mic, so shout out to Andy Martello. Andy, you know, keep up the good work. I know things are tough for you. Believe me, I've been there. Let's go out and get drunk and find some loose women. To all of you on the comics blogosphere, you know, keep plugging away. Mike Sterling, you know I give you a hard time, dude, but you know I love you. In a brotherly way, but yeah, I love you. I actually said something nice about Mike Sterling, you know. Good thing this will be up on the internet for posterity. So until then, if you ever have any questions, email me at blogthispal@gmail.com. Oh, and if last minute, I just remembered, if you want really cool music news, and I read this blog myself, screenrant.com. The guy's a Major League Iron Man fan. He's got a lot of good news about the movie. He's not afraid to say it, and it's his site is. Once you read his site, you will never look at Ain't It Cool News again. Believe me, it's that good. So on that note, I wish everyone a great weekend, a nice and happy evening, and until then, until I, In a few weeks, you'll hear the record you should own, and I'm starting to babble, so I'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Soft and sweet, I met a dusky maiden one day. With her naughty glance and charming hula dance, she made me want to linger and play.